Time now to take a look at the first half of your 5 o'clock evening news here on KCIM for this Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. This is Abby Ward reporting. Volunteers are being requested to help with the annual Wolf Pack for Hunger 2026 that is happening tomorrow afternoon. Wolf Pack for Hunger is an initiative that was organized by the C3, IKM Manning Community School District, and the Meals of Hope that aims to pack 50,000 meals that will be kept locally and distributed across the world through Meals of the Heartland. Volunteers are needed for food packaging from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the IKM Manning Alternative Gym Thursday afternoon. And interested individuals, families, or groups can register online to help. Anyone with additional questions or would like to make a donation to the cause can contact Jean Stratlander or Rachel Merkel. Contact points and the link to register can both be found included with this story on our website. The Carroll Community School District Board of Education will be hosting its upcoming work session on Thursday at the new district's transportation building. Superintendent Dr. Casey Burlaw says it gives the board members and the public who haven't been able to tour the building a chance while hearing an update from Transportation Director Jennifer Dentlinger specifically on the changes that were implemented at the beginning of this school year.
She'll talk about how that's going, drivers, how many we have, maybe an update on the scanning software that we use and how it's being used. Just updates, really.
Burlaw says the board will also be continuing the discussion regarding a potential 3-year-old preschool program.
We'll go a little deeper in terms of some of the questions that were asked, like what expenses might be and potential revenue. We have a survey out right now. We won't have those results back yet, but we won't go too deep there. But any additional information we have from when we talked about it last, we'll talk through at the work session.
The board will also discuss the next steps in regards to the facilities plan and how the district would like to proceed moving forward in regards to obtaining community feedback. Burlaw says the last discussion item will be an update to the budget reduction plan.
One of the things in that plan was to not fill a position, and the board wanted us to fill it, so we're working on filling that. It's basically going to be an update on the additional $13,000 to $15,000 from that plan that we said we would look at other ways to reduce that amount.
The district's goal was to reduce expenditures by $150,000. The meeting will conclude with a closed session per Iowa Code 21.51A to review or discuss records which are required or authorized by state or federal law to be kept confidential or to be kept confidential as a condition for the possession or continued receipt of federal funds for an agreement regarding a specific student. Again, the CCSD Board of Education will be held on Thursday starting at 5 p.m. at the district's transportation facility, and the public is welcome to attend. The Iowa House passed a bill today that will potentially raise the speed limit on state highways to 60 miles per hour. Senate File 378 was introduced to the Senate in February of 2025, which would increase the speed of all vehicular traffic to 60 miles per hour on all highways or roadways that do not have a specific designated limit, such as being a residential district, an unpaved secondary road, or a divided multi-lane highway. The bill passed the Senate on a 36-12 vote a month later, advancing to the House. The House passed the bill this morning on a 76-16 vote. The change only applies to the speed limit and for a sign update shortcut that will allow for number overlays to be placed on the signs until a full replacement needs to occur. The first two tickets don't count rule and penalties for speeding will remain unchanged. Due to some amendments from the House, the bill now heads back to the Senate for approval before going to the governor's desk to be signed into law. This is National Walking Day, and more walkers means a greater risk for crashes that involve pedestrians on the roads and at busy intersections. AAA Iowa spokesman Brian Otner says motorists and pedestrians both need to be aware of their surroundings and pay attention. The Iowa DOT reported 460 crashes involving pedestrians last year. 29 of them resulted in deaths, and 84 caused serious injuries. Otner cautions pedestrians not to use headphones or at least position them so you can still hear your surroundings and to stay off your phone. Motorists, too, need to be watchful at all times, slow down in pedestrian zones near schools and parks, and to eliminate distractions behind the wheel. Republican Congressman Randy Feenstra says if he's elected governor, he'll press to keep lowering the state income tax and get rid of it at some point. Feenstra appears to be have a different philosophy than Republican Governor Kim Reynolds and current Republican members of the legislature when it comes to using the billions of dollars that have been saved up in the taxpayer relief fund. They're using it to cover deficits in the state budget. Feenstra says as governor, he'll make sure that the state budget is balanced and that one-time money isn't spent for ongoing expenses. Feenstra is opposed to an increase in the gas tax and has pledged to cut and freeze property taxes since he launched his campaign for governor last November. Feenstra discussed his tax and spending priorities yesterday during an interview with Radio Iowa. And that is going to be it, wrapping up the first half of your 5 o'clock evening news. Stay tuned. I'll be back with the second half coming up after a few short messages.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your farm deserves.
For details, contact Nicole Unken at Nicole Unken Agency. Call 712-792-1262.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
For 43 years, Farmer-Owned Cooperative Egg Processing Inc., AGP, has added value to soybeans grown across the Midwest by producing quality soybean meal for livestock and soybean oil found in foods you eat each day. AGP is now hiring and manning for utility positions, starting at $24.50 an hour with growth opportunities. AGP's benefits are the best in the business, including no-wait medical, dental, vision, a 401k plus a 100% employer-funded pension. Apply today at agp.com/careers.
Time now to take a look at the second half of your 5 o'clock evening news here on 1380. But before we get into the stories, let's go ahead and take a look at a quick weather forecast with some weather facts from today. So for the rest of tonight, showers and thunderstorms are possible, low of around 38, breezy with wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour, new rainfall amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. Thursday, there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, pretty significant chance, with a high near 54, breezy with wind gusts as high as 24 miles per hour, and new rainfall amounts between half and three quarters of an inch expected. We'll get a little bit of a break Thursday night with mostly cloudy skies and a low of around 32, windy with wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Then heading into Friday, showers and a thunderstorm are possible with a high near 54, with wind gusts as high as 22 miles per hour, and new rainfall amounts between a quarter and half of an inch expected. And then Friday night, we are looking at a 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, and a low of around 30 with blustery winds and new rainfall amounts of less than 1/10 of an inch expected, but higher amounts can be possible during the thunderstorms. Yesterday's high was 61 degrees, which was set sometime in the afternoon, and yesterday's low was 33, which was set early in the morning. Record high back on this day was 89 degrees in 2012, and record low was 9 in 1924. 1.95 inches was the record for precipitation set back on this day in 1897, and in 1936, we recorded 4 inches of snow. Sunset today will be at 7:44 p.m. with sunrise tomorrow at 7:01 a.m. Now let's go ahead and take a look at the second half of your 5 o'clock evening news here on 1380 KCIM. This is Abby Ward reporting. April is National Donate Life Month, and Iowa donor organizations are encouraging residents to consider registering as an organ, tissue, or eye donor. The Iowa Donor Network and Iowa Lions Eye Bank are partnering this month to encourage people to consider adding their names to the list of those that are willing to give the gift of life. An estimated 170 plus million Americans are already registered as organ, tissue, and eye donors, and the month-long campaign highlights stories of hope, celebrates transplant recipients, and recognizes the generosity of donor families. The Iowa Donor Network serves as the state's sole organ procurement organization and is one of 55 federally certified nonprofit groups in the nation's donation network. Iowa Lions Eye Bank focuses primarily on cornea donation and transplantation, helping to restore sight through donated tissue. Iowans can register as donors by logging on to www.iowadonornetwork.org and find local events through participating organizations through April. District 6 Senator Jason Schultz and District 11 Representative Craig Williams defended the state's educational savings account program. The 2025-26 school year was the first year all students in Iowa, regardless of income, qualified for ESA support in attending non-public accredited school. The program allocated funding equal to the state's cost per pupil, which was $7,988 for the current school year, for each qualifying student that can be used to cover tuition and other expenses at an eligible school. An attendee at Saturday's Carroll Chamber of Commerce Legislative Forum, hosted at Western Iowa Networks in Carroll, asked if lawmakers were cognizant of the feeling from public school teachers and families that the legislator was providing too much support for private schools. Schultz says lawmakers are well aware of the sentiment, at least in the upper chamber.
I can only speak Senate perspective, but in the conversation, there was a movement to continue going farther as far as requiring public schools to do this for private extracurriculars, would probably be the most familiar. And eventually, the group conversation came down to, folks, if they choose to go to a school without high school sports, no high school this or that, and it did kind of come down to, folks, if they choose to move to a school without it, that was the choice we were telling them to make. I guess what I'm saying in the long way is, yes, I do hear, and I do get the perspective of folks saying that we are favoring privates over public.
Schultz adds that he views the state's government's role on the issue as providing as level of a playing field as possible for families to choose where they want their child educated. The legislator made a similar move in 2022 prior to the ESA legislation that loosened restrictions on open enrollment for public school students. That change, which didn't involve private schools at all, reflects lawmakers' belief that parents and students should be able to choose where they are educated. Both changes moved the education system closer to a free market system, which Schultz says encourages competition and continuous improvement.
They have their own cultures. They have their own ideologies. It's not a blanket universal for every public. It's not a blanket universal for every private. But there are different cultures between them. If we turn private schools into identical to public, first of all, they're going to need all the same money. Now we're back up to $20,000 a kid for a public education in a private school. But secondly, there's lessons to be learned when you don't require somebody to do something. Private schools are showing some folks how to do certain things without the heavy hand of the federal or state government.
William says his rationale, while both similar, boils down to one primary point. The state should support students rather than systems.
What we are here to do in this state is educate kids. I don't know why one kid is worth $8,000 to the state and another kid is worth zero. So to me, the ESA thing was a fairness issue of every kid gets $8,000 from the state. The public schools get property tax dollars and federal dollars plus the $8,000. I can point to $18,000 to $20,000 of direct payment to the public schools, but only $8,000 to the private schools. All right, so there's another study that's out that shows $24,000 of all the additional things that go to the schools that aren't as easy to spot. You can argue about where the numbers are, but to say that we're starving the public schools is just not accurate.
Education proponents argue that 2% improved for fiscal year 2027 in state supplemental aid is not sufficient to adequately fund Iowa's public schools. Nearly half of Iowa's approximately $9.5 billion budget is allocated to public education. The ESA program also provides additional funding to public school districts with resident students who receive ESAs, and Williams uses Carroll's two schools as an example.
For every kid that goes to Kemper that's on an ESA, Carroll Public School or whatever school district they live in, get $1,205 per kid, right? So if there's 1,200 kids going to Kemper, there's $1.4 million of extra aid going to the local schools.
Both legislators acknowledge that there are additional regulations on public schools that do not always apply to private schools. For example, public schools must provide transportation to students who reside in the district, and in Carroll's case, up to $250,000 in extra expenses. Schultz and Williams reiterated that a level playing field is the goal and indicated they would be willing to consider adjusting those requirements in future sessions. Audio from this section of the meeting is included with this story. on our website. Sales of E15 fuel in Iowa surged in 2025, rising 60% from the prior year and topping 410 million gallons, according to a new report from the Iowa Department of Revenue. The agency's 2025 Retailers Motor Fuel Gallons Annual Report found that nearly half of Iowa fuel stations now offer E15, and the ethanol blend accounted for about 27% of all gasoline sales statewide. Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director Monty Shaw says the massive growth in E15 sales reflects the success of Governor Reynolds' E15 access standard. With Iowa drivers saving an average of 15 cents per gallon by choosing E15, the cost savings equals an estimated $61.5 million. E15 is well on its way to becoming the new normal fuel in Iowa. Conversely, the report also found that biodiesel sales in the state declined. Retailers sold nearly 51 million gallons of biodiesel blends in 2025, down from about 82 million gallons in 2024. Shaw attributes the disappointing figures to uncertainty in federal policy, low renewable fuel standards blending levels, and a lack of guidance on federal tax credits that affect the biodiesel market. A link to the Iowa Department of Revenue's full report is included with this story on our website. And that is going to be wrapping up your 5 o'clock evening news here on 1380 KCIM. This has been Abby Ward reporting.